Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are back here on Empowered by the Spirit at beautiful Christ Cathedral, and we're with our Spiritful Hearts gang here, and we're so excited to have three of them here. Marianne Greco, welcome back.
Hi.
My beautiful bride of 44 years. And we have Katie Hughes, who is an evangelist and someone who is actively involved in our ministry and in so many different ways. Welcome, Katie.
Thank you.
And the engineer of our show now, actually, but really the producer of the show, Michael Amola, who is our Vice President of Spirit-Filled Hearts. Great to have you here on the show.
Thanks, Steve. Good
and
to be
thank
here.
You for all the listeners out there here. We are here at beautiful Christ Cathedral and Empowered by the Spirit show, talking about, during this Lenten season, following your passion. Now, why is that important during Lent? Well, Lent is this time of really reflection to say, where are we with our spiritual inventory? Where are we as it relates to what is it that God is calling us to do? And if you've listened to the show or been involved in any of our Spirit-Filled Hearts workshops or seminars or CDs, you'll hear me often quote this scripture, because I think it's one of the more meaningful scriptures in the Gospel of John. And that famous 15th chapter, the vine and the branches, where he says, you know, I am the vine, you are the branches, and the branches, of course, bear the fruit. And he says, without me, you can do nothing. And then further on in John 15, he says this quote that I quote 15:16, it is not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. In the name of Jesus. And that's an important part of it. And this is my command. My command to you is to love one another. Now, it is God who chooses us to go and bear fruit, as it says in the vine and the branches, Marianne. And that fruit that will remain, that fruit that will multiply, the fruit that will build God's kingdom. This is the year of mercy, and certainly during the Lenten season, where we focus on prayer, fasting, almsgiving, but we focus on doing things. We've talked about fasting, but we've also talked about feasting in the Lord. And there are certain, as we look at the spiritual works of mercy, there's teaching, instruct the ignorant. There's giving advice and so forth, counsel the doubtful. There is helping people come to the Lord, acknowledge the sinner. There is helping people be patient, bearing wrongs patiently, forgiving others and reconciliation, comforting the afflicted, praying for the living and the dead. And of course, what more people perhaps are familiar with is the corporal works of mercy, of feeding the hungry and giving drink to the thirsty, clothing the naked, sheltering the homeless, caring for the sick, visiting in prison and burying the dead. So you have all these different things in which we're being called to do during this year of mercy. But we also know that certain people are being asked to do certain things by the Lord, because as it says in Corinthians, there's one spirit, but many gifts. So how do we know, Marianne, as to what it is God is calling us to do?
Well, that's always a big question. We're always asking each other, how do I know what God wants me to do? And one of the things, Steve, I like to say is find your passion. What is it you really like to do? And God gave us that passion for a reason, and then we have to pray about it and see where that leads us, and have an imagination to think greater than what we normally would think about our passion.
My brothers and sisters, we're here on Empowered by the Spirit at beautiful Christ Cathedral, and the theme of this show is following our passion, following the passion that God puts in your heart, because God puts that passion in your heart to make a difference. And Katie, You know, God has really anointed you so powerfully with the Holy Spirit, and you have a passion for evangelization. And how did that happen, in which God put that into your heart to go out in the streets, or when you see people, to tell them about Jesus?
It's been a journey. So coming to the point where I am now has been an accumulation of different events where God has touched my heart, has spoken to me, brought people into my life to bring me closer to Him, to really know who He is, and then brought me events or situations where I feel called and it's so burning in the heart that I can't ignore it. And so when God is burning in your heart, you want to share that because it's your job.
We see in the road of Emmaus, and this is in Luke 24, verse 32, were our hearts not burning within us when He spoke to us on the way and opened the Scriptures to us? Were our hearts not burning? We see also in Luke how Jesus talks about, in Luke 12, wanting to have our hearts ablaze with fire. And, you know, he talks about in 12:49, I've come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. And He wants our hearts to be on fire. We know the call within a call, Blessed Mother Teresa, in which she's on the train and saw this image of Jesus, and Jesus saying, I thirst for souls. But Marianne, it's not easy, as you mentioned, to decide what it is that you want to do. Now, you have this great passion for Bible study. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like I'll say, well, let's do this, let's do that. Well, no. The Bible study comes first, and women's Bible studies. Why are you so confident that that's what God has called you to do?
Well, it is a passion that God has given me for teaching, and I recognize that. And when you finally recognize it, you feel a lot of peace about it, and you know that that's what you want to do. But I have to back up a little, because I think that the passion that God gave me for teaching started when I was little. I mean, when I was in elementary school, like first grade, I used to play teacher, and I loved teaching, and He gave me that passion from a young child. And I never dreamed in the beginning that it would end up teaching adults religion and about God, but He nurtured it through the years. But He put that passion in me from the very beginning.
You know, my brothers and sisters, one of the things that is so important is just to understand that God will give you direction. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can trust in Him and believe in Him. So many people say, well, I'm not sure what to do. Should I do this? Should I do that? Well, ask the Lord, and He will tell you. Michael, you have done so many wonderful things, and you are a true saint, in my opinion, as we like to say, straight to heaven, no purgatory for Michael. But in any case, that fateful day for me, that wonderful day for me, when I was driving up to the Mission San Gabriel to give a talk, and something popped in your head. And what is it that you told me?
I asked you if you wanted company.
If I wanted company, and the answer, of course, was yes. And but what made you do that?
You know, I don't really know. It obviously, in retrospect, was God. You know, because all of a sudden, I found myself in a situation where that simple step, simply stepping out and asking, do you want some company, turned into the eighth floor.
At the Tower of Hope at Christ Cathedral here on a radio show.
And it's really been an exciting journey. It wasn't what I expected. I had no idea that this was God's plan. But when we think about it from that point to where we are today, we've done so much together, and we've evolved this ministry, and you know, it's really been exciting. It's been very, very fulfilling.
And God is so good. I mean, when we say yes to Jesus, my brothers and sisters, because that's really what it's all about, say yes to that prompting, God's going to open the door. And we pray that God opens the door that only He can open. And, you know, we look at the employment initiative, and which is an amazing, amazing program within St. Elizabeth Ann Seton in Irvine, California. And you're actively involved in that. You know, again, you know, there's 10,000 things you can do that all of us can do. What made you choose that one?
Well, I was asked, first of all, And, you know, being asked, you have the ability to say either yes or no. And the one thing that I've learned as it comes to my faith development is sometimes I have to stretch. I have to put myself out. And when I was asked to be a mentor in that program, you know, I was there for support, and I have evolved into a leadership position. But it's so rewarding, you know, to be able to engage with other people as they have needs. And that's what we all do. I mean, we find people who have needs.
Katie, I remember, I'll never forget, that as we were starting this new prayer meeting, charismatic prayer meeting here at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, and March 19th, by the way, is our next prayer meeting, so please come. Nine Hillgate in the city of Irvine at 7 p.m. You had, God led you to that prayer meeting, and then Marianne had asked for volunteers on communication, and you said, you raised your hand and said, yes, I'll do it. And then later, I'll never forget when we had a core group meeting, and you said, I want to be involved in praying over people. We're going to come right back after the break because we want to hear Katie's answer as to how she said yes, how she heard the Lord and said yes to the Lord on those really important events. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Deacon Steve Greco from Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, and we are so excited to be partnering with Immaculate Heart. And I'm also very pleased to have published my first book, 365 Days of Praise. It's a daily devotional to help you with a daily scripture reading, a reflection, and also a thought-provoking question to help stimulate your spiritual growth.
Available online at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or find out more at SpiritFilledHearts.org.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit with Marianne Greco, Katie Hughes, Michael Amola, talking about following our passion. And during this Lenten season, it's so important to take an inventory of what is it that God is calling us to do. There's so many different things. And Katie, right before the break, we started asking you the question of, you had a couple of big yeses. Yes to our Spiritful Hearts prayer meeting in terms of communication. We didn't know who you were, but you quickly got involved. And then I'll never forget, as long as I live, that you stood up and we were creating prayer teams for praying over people. And you weren't part of it because we really didn't know you. And you said, that's something I want to do. I want to make a difference and pray over people. Why did you say yes on both, for both of those?
You know, I guess when you see that no one wants to help, and you ask for, you see a group of people and no one volunteers, and just quiet after your question about who can help with, you know, sending out emails and announcements about the prayer meeting. And when I saw the need, I wanted to help. So I guess the inner desire, I guess God created me to help. And I never know how that's going to come to fruition sometimes, but that's what it was. I saw a need and didn't know why, but I knew you needed help.
But what about praying over people? Again, that was something we didn't really need. We had enough people.
Right.
But you stepped up and said, no, I want to do that. Again, where was the prompting on that?
I don't know. I think God puts that desire in your heart.
Okay.
He's a mysterious God sometimes, and I know, I think probably going back to the hearts of the desire, growing up, I always wanted to do something big for God, and I've always had a compassionate heart for those who hurt, and that ministry was about helping those who hurt. And when you pray over people and you ask to God to heal them, well, what an opportunity to serve God.
The important things, my brothers and sisters, is not to compare yourself with anyone else. It's not to say, well, this person's doing all these things and I'm not, but it's to try to understand what has God called you to do. As it says in 1 Corinthians 12:4, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. Different workings in the same God who produces all of them in everyone. And to each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. In some, the expressions of wisdom, to other, words of knowledge, to other, gifts of healing, to other, mighty deeds, to other discernment of spirits, variety of tongues, and so forth. And Marianne, each of us are given different gifts. That's how you build the body of Christ. But we have to say yes to those gifts.
Yes, we all have different gifts, and we have to really acknowledge that I'm not going to have every gift that Deacon Steve has or that Katie or Michael has, but I have different gifts, and I have to be able to discern and be open to my gifts and say yes when the time comes. It's recognizing it. What is it that I like to do? Or, you know, in Katie's case, she said, I like to help. And that's her gift. And she's been really open to helping in a lot of different ways. And we have to kind of step out of the box sometimes to see our gift being used. We have to try new ways of using our gift. And that's where, you know, prayer and courage to step out and try something new that may still be within our realm of passion, but we haven't done it yet, is important.
Now, you may be asking yourself, well, I'm not sure I have any gifts. I hear that all the time, where people say, you know, other people are more talented than me and so forth. But we're here to tell you that God has created you to be this beautiful human being, and that you have gifts that no one else has. It's like that snowflake. Each snowflake is different. Each snowflake is unique. You have an ability to reach people, my brothers and sisters, that no one else can. You may be Jesus to someone that they absolutely need to hear that they're loved by God.
And you know, another thing, Steve, is I think that we should not concentrate on looking at other people's gifts and say, oh, I'd like that. But we should really recognize the fact that our gifts are unique, and that we should concentrate on finding how our gifts are manifested in us rather than looking at other people and say, oh, I'd like to be a great teacher, but you know, that's not the gift I'm called for. So let's look at ourselves and see where God has planted our passions and the things we like to do, because that's our hint of where our gifts are.
We're here on Empowered by the Spirit again with Marianne Greco, Katie Hughes, Michael Amola, and beautiful Christ Cathedral. And for all of your listeners out there, you may be asking yourself, well, I'm not sure what my passion is. I'm not sure I have time for it, you know, but I know I need to do something. I feel nudged. The very first step is understand that you are anointed, you are chosen. The second step is learning how to pray and listening to the Lord. This is so important. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to 21. Pray without ceasing in all circumstances. Give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Test everything. Retain what is good. In 1 Samuel 3:10, the Lord came and revealed His presence, calling out Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel answered, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." It's so important to understand that God is constantly listening or talking to us, and we must learn how to listen. It's that famous story in which Joan of Arc is brought before the Queen of France, and the Queen of France says, how is it that this young girl here is, that God's communicating with this young girl and not the Queen of France? And Joan of Arc looked at the Queen of France and said, Your Highness, God is talking to you all the time, but you're not listening.
You know, Steve, I think that we have an obligation sometimes, if we can't recognize our gift, to maybe listen to God through community and asking others around us, like, what do you see that, you know, is my gift? Because so often the Holy Spirit speaks through others around us, and there may be someone who can help you recognize your special gift, and they might see something in you that you don't see. In Bible study, there was a woman who said, I don't have a gift, you know, and then I said, well, what do you like to do? And so I kind of talked to her, and we started naming gifts that we saw that she liked to do. She was a good cook. And so we said, that's your gift. You just need to find out where God's calling you to use it. So we need to help each other, this community.
And that's a big part of what the employment initiative is all about, is identifying people's strengths and putting them in the right direction.
Yeah, and it's very true, because, Marianne, I think you hit it right on the head when you say, what is it I like to do? Mm-hmm. You know, because when you're doing something you like to do, you're the best at it. Four of us are sitting here in the studio, and we all have different gifts, and we all excel at the gifts we have. And, you know, with the employment ministry, and I was communicating by email with one of the people who is involved with our employment ministry yesterday. And, you know, as I thought about that person, I was able to come up with some things that might benefit them. And that quite frankly, is a gift that I have when it comes to the employment ministry, is I'm kind of a strategic thinker. So, you know, as I'm thinking about different people and what they're trying to, you know, as they're in transition, they're trying to come up with a strategy to find that new job, things pop off in my head. And I know that's the Lord.
Right.
That's the Lord. And so I just kind of go with the flow and make sure I get it into an email.
And that's part of your gift, which is so important. My brothers and sisters, turn to James 1, the first chapter of the book, The Letter of James. And it says, "Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and let perseverance be perfect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. For if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives it all generously and ungrudgingly, and he will be given it. But he should ask in faith, never doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed about by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, since he's a man of two minds, unstable in all his ways." Katie, this is so critical to understand that when we pray, we must pray with expectated faith that we're going to hear from the Lord. He will give us the direction as to what to do or what not to do. But if we keep doubting it, oh, that's really not the Lord, you know, then that creates all kinds of problems.
I think we do have to have a sensitive ear to the Lord's promptings. And you can test what you're hearing in your heart and what the Lord is calling you to do. And if you feel a doubt or you feel a hindrance as to, I'm not sure if that's really what God wants me to do. There's so many things I could be doing. How do I know? And I think if you just step into that pool with the Lord and see if that's where he wants you. And usually within the first experience, sometimes it's uncomfortable, so you might need to try again. And as you spend time in a specific ministry or a task that the Lord is asking you and you believe to be true, but you just need that assurance, ask the Lord for confirmation. Say, "Lord, if this is where you want me, show me that miracle. Show me that person. Put someone in my life to tell me this is where you're supposed to be."
My brothers and sisters, God is calling you to miraculous things. God is calling you to be a purveyor of his love, a purveyor of hope, a purveyor of encouragement, a purveyor of miracles. But you must understand that you have been anointed. You must accept the fact that you have been called. You must also accept the fact that Jesus is going to give you direction. He will give you the guidance that you need to go in the direction you need to in order to be part of a ministry or start a ministry or be there. And we just must trust that, Marianne.
Yes. And you know, it doesn't even have to be a whole ministry. It may be like Katie said, he may just be calling you to one task, one moment at a time to use your gift. And we just have to listen and be aware of it. It doesn't have to be anything big. I think a lot of times God uses us and calls us to small things.
We're going to be right back and talk more about following our passions and how we can be assured that God is directing us. Be right back. Hello, everyone. We're back here at beautiful Christ Cathedral, and we're focusing on following our passion now, but especially here during this Lenten season, for us to really realize that God is calling us. God is calling us to fulfill our mission, our purpose on earth. And, you know, Rick Warren's famous book here, where he's talking about really following our passions and purpose-driven life. The very first line in that book is, "It's not about you." And it's so important to understand that God has called us to a purpose. And we know from the Baltimore Catechism, we were called to love him, to know him, and to serve him. So the steps as it relates to following our passion, understand that we are chosen by God for a special purpose. Second, we must learn to pray and to listen. To listen, it's a two-way dialogue. It's not a monologue. It's not just petitions. And the third step is, once you start hearing the Lord saying to do something, to be led by the Spirit. Now, Luke 4:1, we heard this a few weeks ago, actually in the first Sunday of Lent. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the desert. Now, how does this relate to following our passion? Well, you have to be filled with the Spirit, and you have to be led by the Spirit. And sometimes that happens where things don't always go the way we want them to go. You know, there are times, Marianne, where, you know, I remember one of your Bible studies, it was like you were having conflict and all kinds of problems. You were clearly in the desert in that particular study, and you were questioning, you know, should I continue with this? Should I not continue with it? You know, we're often led into these crossroads as we start following our passions because we're tested.
Absolutely. And you know, I think it's not always God leads us in places, and we always have to be in communication with him because he may be ready to lead us out of them as well. And so for me, with the Bible study, it was a time like, well, is this time for me to step out of the Bible study and not lead it anymore? Or, you know, what are you saying, Lord? And because I think a good leader is always questioning and with God, where do you want me? Because it's dynamic. It changes. It doesn't always stay the same. Just because God told me to do this doesn't mean that I'll be doing this forever, but he may lead me into something else.
Michael, as you get involved in various ministries, it's not always everything goes perfectly, and there's ups and downs. And how do you know whether or not you should continue with a ministry?
Well, part of my ministry is being a father. Mm-hmm. And
we want you to continue with that one.
Absolutely. And one of the things I was reflecting on is that, you know, a number of years ago when my kids were younger and they were very active in sports and things like that, I was called on to spend time with them, to be with them. And as they grew up and that need was less, I was drawn more to the church. And I've been fortunate. I haven't had any situations relative to involvement with the church and ministry work where I felt to stop getting involved. I know that here in the Lenten season, we're working on a book study, you know, to Matthew Kelly's Rediscovering Catholicism. And that happened by virtue of the fact of me a year and a half ago raising my hand and saying, I can help with that, which was for the first time Matthew Kelly came and talked here in Orange County. And from that, now, here we have evolved to a book study program at our church, and, you know, I'm involved in that. And frankly, I get more out of it than I put into it. And that's what I find about faith and about ministry work. It's so rewarding.
So as we look again on following our passion, we know we're chosen. We're praying and listening. We're being led by the Spirit, and the Spirit needs to lead us in ministry every step of the way, Katie. If we don't have the Holy Spirit leading us, then we get our own will involved, and that's when we run into problems.
I've struggled with trying to make sure that what I'm doing is for the Lord and God's glory, and I'm not serving myself in any way. And I recently run into a wonderful book, and it's on St. Catherine of Siena, my patron saint. But she was filled with God's wisdom, and she had a very special relationship with the Lord. And he told her in one of their conversations, he said, you know, your first way to get to heaven is to realize you are nothing and I am everything. And when you realize that you are nothing without him, and that nothing you do should be done without him before you and with him in mind and his plan for you, until you can do that, it's difficult to fully serve the Lord, and it's not an easy task. She's a saint, canonized, and so you have to think about, well, she came to that point, and for us, we need to strive for that. To serve the Lord fully, and what he wants us to do in our passion is to let go of ourselves and serve him fully.
Praise the Lord. We're on Empowered by the Spirit. That's Katie Hughes, along with Marianne Greco, Michael Amola, beautiful Christ Cathedral. Very, very important subject of following our passions. And Katie reminds us that, as Jesus said in John 15, without me you can do nothing, that we are nothing, that he is everything. And we must, as St. Teresa said, be the pencil in God's hand and let Jesus move us in any direction, in any way. And, you know, one of the most important things is the sacraments, to go to daily Mass, to go to adoration, to go to reconciliation, to read Scripture, to do the things that are necessary to get closer to God, to get closer to Jesus, to be in his presence. It's so important, my brothers and sisters, that when we say yes to God, that we continue to say yes to him, that we continue to strive for holiness, that we continue to be in his presence. That is such a critical part of it. And Marianne, if we say yes and then all of a sudden start going off in our own flesh, in our own direction, then we find that we're not bearing fruit.
Right. And, you know, I think it's really easy to do. We don't realize that it's a gradual thing. You don't instantly recognize the fact that you've gone astray from being in God's presence. But we do. We say yes for the right reason. God's led us there. And then we kind of fall back and we're not really in communication with God and listening to where he's leading us. And all of a sudden, we're doing it because it feels good. Or people are saying, oh, you're doing a good job. But are we doing it because we're serving God? And a lot of people and leaders can get led astray because they forget who they're serving. It's not about them. It's about serving God.
And it's so important to understand that we will be tested.
Absolutely.
I know people get really upset when I talk about this. They go, well, how come we have a God who tests us? We have a God who loves us, and he's constantly wants to mold us and melt us. And it's really critical to understand that in that process that God is training us to get closer to him. And this is really an important part of understanding
development. We can learn through our mistakes, and we can learn our weaknesses and become stronger people with God helping us.
And as we look at Scripture, we realize as we look at Hebrews that God is a God of molding us, and we see that we must understand that God is there, and God is there to help us. And in Hebrews it talks about how we have a God that is going to help us and mold us. And if we don't listen to him, then we're in a situation where we're just going to go our own way and it will not bear fruit. So the next step as it relates to following our passion is to develop our gifts. Now, each of us are given certain gifts, Marianne, and you were given the gift of teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But you had to develop that gift in order to serve God as it related to Bible study teaching. And how did you do that?
How did I develop my gift? You know, God takes us in a lot of different ways. And as I said, I started out just liking to pretend to be a teacher when I was young. But, you know, I thought it was going to go a different direction. I taught children. I taught in elementary school. But, you know, God, along the way, he's preparing me to be exactly where I am today. And so it's this recognizing that the things and the passions and the things I like to do, I'm learning, and I'm learning so I can later on use it for the Lord. So it's taking every experience I have and kind of saying, God's in it, and he's showing me where I need to polish myself, where I need to be better, when I need to do. And he uses everything, all of our experiences in our lives can be used when we turn them to the Lord to polish our gift that he has some job for us to do down the road.
Katie, one of the things that I've noticed about you is, you know, as God has called you into greater and greater service to him, greater and greater leadership to him, you're just being imbibing or just studying constantly both Scripture, but also various videos, tapes, various books that you've been reading and so forth, where God's constantly filling you with knowledge. And why are you doing that? And how is that helping you?
You know, the Lord places different things in our heart, small little desires, a glimmer. And sometimes I take it on and sometimes I don't. When I do take on what the Lord is asking me to do, I find that I experience something I never thought I'd be interested in. I have to say, I have a wonderful mother who, she told me once when she gave her heart to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit she loved very much, and she said to God, ask me to do anything, but just make sure it's quiet. And I have to say, it was exact opposite of what the Lord wanted her to do. And she really had to expand what she thought she could do. She had no idea what a powerful person she could be as an evangelizing Catholic. And so, you know, that's what's so intricate about God is he places books, and you can use those, what you learn to evangelize with, and you use it later. You have no idea when the Lord will use the knowledge he gave you.
And God is helping us and molding us every step of the way. We're going to be right back, and we're going to talk about the last three steps in terms of following our passions. Be right back. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back here on Empowered by the Spirit. We're talking about following and fulfilling our passion, following our passion in which God has nudged us. God has given us that inkling. And for some people, I remember some people say, boy, you know, I love intercessory prayer. I want to be on the prayer line. I love to pray for people. Or some people say, you know, something has just called me to the Blessed Mother to join the Legion of Mary. Or some people say, I love to visit the sick, and so I'm going to start doing that, or prison ministry, or whatever it might be. So the step-by-step process, if you're just listening in here on Empowered by the Spirit, we're with Marianne Greco, Katie Hughes, and Michael Amola. This is Deacon Steve Greco, beautiful Christ Cathedral here. The step-by-step process is understanding that God is calling you. God is calling you and anointing you. That's number one. Number two is that teaching us how to pray. We must learn how to pray, to listen to the Lord. What is his prompting? What is he telling you to do? Then when you listen, to be led by the Spirit to get involved in something. Then the next step, the fourth step, is develop our skills. The fifth step now is to fulfill your purpose and what it is that God is calling you to do. Now, we've kind of been led by the Spirit. We're kind of involved in that, a ministry or two or three or whatever it might be. We're being developed in terms of our leadership, our gifts, and so forth. But now we're involved, and we have got to really make a difference in whatever mission is that we've been given to do. And Michael, I think one thing that really hits me is you see how God is connecting the dots. And I guess maybe the older you get, and of course you're this young spring chicken here, but
thank you.
I know I started to go older here. What am I doing? Let's cut that out. No. But as we get more mature, but perhaps at any point, you can start seeing how God connects the dots. Now, you have been involved in housing of some kind and really taking care of managing property and property management area. All of a sudden, you see God's hand involved in perhaps helping the homeless or helping those. And do you see how God was connecting the dots and using your background to be able to help people in Habitat for Humanity or other areas like that?
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about our skill set and our passion. And I have been in the property management industry for all of my life. And now he has led me to work in the homeless venue. In addition to my real estate management, working with an organization, American Family Housing. And I marvel at, as you say, connecting the dots. I marvel at how he moves me, you know, in different directions. And all of a sudden, you know, an area that I wasn't totally comfortable with, quite frankly, and that was, you know, interacting with homeless, you know, I now find myself in a leadership position, being on a board of a nonprofit foundation. And I find myself, developing more passion for this ministry, and all of a sudden bringing together different contacts that I have and helping this organization grow. And it really sets a fire in me to do more. And I think that that's one of the ways that God really works.
You know, fulfilling our purpose and our mission, once we know that we've been called, once we've prayed, once we've been led by the Spirit, once our gifts are starting to be developed, is to take that leap forward. And what's that book, one of the famous books that you like about getting out of the boat?
Oh, if you have to walk on, if you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat.
So that is a big message for you, my brothers and sisters. Get out of the boat. God's calling you to do something. And I think for me, you and I over the years, really involved in helping the unborn, you know, helping women who have troubled pregnancies or making that decision to keep their baby or not keep that their baby. It led me to be on the board of Birth Choice for many, many years, and now Obria Health Clinics. But protection of those that need to be protected. And you and I have both had a passion in that area, Marianne.
Yes, and I think, you know, at times it may have felt uncomfortable, but I had to get out of the boat. I had to give it a try and see how God uses my gifts. And in that particular instance, he still used my teaching gift. I help teach young mothers how to take care of their children and how to even tell them stories or read them books. And so God still uses all the gifts he's prepared you for, but then he takes you a little different direction, like Michael was saying, and you start using your gifts in other capacities. And it's really kind of exciting to watch how the dots connect.
And you were even the volunteer of the month, if I remember correctly.
Oh, I guess I was. That was a while back.
I think you made the newspaper or something. I don't know. But it is amazing what God does in terms of following, you know, what it is that God is putting right in front of you. And, you know, I think your passion for the Blessed Mother, Katie, has led you to join the Legion of Mary and to get involved with that. And now, you know, I have to say unequivocally, to use that word here, that, you know, having that statue of the Blessed Mother visiting the various homes, mm-hmm. What a neat thing to do.
It is. And you're talking about, you know, connecting the dots in our life. And I'd like all of you to see your life as a masterpiece. Your life is a masterpiece. And so those paintbrushes that you're putting in your life and God is guiding you through that is creating the masterpiece. And God sees the beauty of you and how he created you to be. And I always think of an artist who I met, and he would always get asked the question, how long did it take you to paint that? You know, a big painting, and maybe it took him half an hour. And he said, 45 years. That's how old he was. So you have to think your life is a masterpiece, and it takes time. And all those situations, your trials, the difficulties in life, as well as the blessings, you know, other blessings in your life of excitement, all of those things contribute to who you are and how you are serving God and being passionate.
I'm asking you right now, my brothers and sisters, to just ask yourself, what is God calling you to do to make a difference, to build his kingdom, to love more passionately your brothers and sisters that God puts in your path, to follow the direction, the ministries, the nonprofits, whatever it might be, to follow the things within your parish or in your community that God has put in front of you. It could be just one thing, but follow it. Follow your heart. Follow your passion. You'll never regret it. And God will bear fruit in you, your family, the ministry, and everything that you touch. And then the next step is to give it your all. Don't do it half-heartedly. 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. Consider this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly without sadness or compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Give your time, talent, and treasure. Give your skills. And when we give, it's amazing how much we get back, Marianne. We get back so much more than we ever give.
We do. And, you know, we do something we like and we use our passion. It feels good. You have this peace. But like you said, we get so much more blessed. We get blessed by God. We get blessed by the people we're interacting with. We learn new things. We learn more about God the more we serve Him and the more we start using our gifts. And it's like, it doesn't have to be big things. I just keep going back to that. But it can be just a little task or something little that you like to do. Just step out and do it, you know, and you'll be blessed for it. It doesn't have to be a big major task. Just something small as smiling to everybody you meet today could be something that, you know, is something that God's called you to, and it's important. And when you do it, you'll be blessed.
And finally, when you are blessed and when your ministry bears fruit and you're following your passion, share it with other churches, share it with other people, so that whatever they're doing within their parish or their ministry, they can also be successful. So as we look at what God is calling us to do in following our passion, God has chosen us to make a difference, to bear fruit. God has told us and teaching us how to pray and how to listen to Him. God has brought us the Holy Spirit to be led, in which we can have the fruits of the Spirit of love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, as seen in Galatians 5:22. He's teaching us everything through the Holy Spirit. He's developing our gifts. He's fulfilling our purpose. And when we give it our all, He will bless it. And when we share it, we will be given that many more blessings. So, Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You for giving us the Holy Spirit, for giving us Jesus, for loving us unconditionally, for giving us that nudge, that passion, that urge to make a difference in Your kingdom, to build up Your kingdom, to love one another passionately as You love us. We pray for the Holy Spirit to descend upon all of our listeners so that they may be filled with the Holy Spirit, that they may be given the gift of wisdom and guidance. We say this through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the intercession of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. God bless you all. We'll be with you next week at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.